This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The cause of American democracy itself must unite to protect it. You know, in recent weeks, it's become clear to me that I need to unite my party in this critical endeavor. I believe my record as president, my leadership in the world, my vision for America's future, all merited a second term. But nothing, nothing can come in the way of saving our democracy. That includes personal ambition. So I've decided the best way forward is to pass the torch to a new generation. That's the best way to unite our nation.
Man, you take vacation for about 10, 12 days and everything happens all at once. Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Yes, this time with Annie back. Hello, I missed you. And there has been so much news in the amount of time that I was gone. And I have to ask you, first and foremost, Annie, did you regret taking vacation this week? No. Because, and this is the defining thing that I want you to remember for your life that I have had to really challenge and ask myself for my life as well, what's the most important thing? What out there matters more than anything? And the truth of the matter is, it's not politics. It's not the news. It's not the you know, ticker by ticker, minute by minute headlines that come out, even when it's the biggest news week of your 40 years of life. And you are in Florida on vacation. It was wild. The stories that were coming out, the headlines that were coming out while I'm, you know, at the beach or at the hotel pool or on a bus from point A to point B, these huge, huge stories. And I'm literally asking myself on multiple occasions, what am I doing here? And the answer is I'm spending time with my family. And the truth of the matter is that the reason why all of these other massive stories matter so much is because of the priority that I have in my life, and you likely have this in your life, is because of how it affects your future, how it affects the people who matter the most to you. And anytime, and I am guilty of this, I will put my hand up and say I'm the first one to be guilty of this, anytime that the news cycle tries to grab you and become your priority, it's inverted. It gets upside down. We have to remember which entities in our life service which entities in our lives. So yes, it was Friday when I left for vacation, right out the door from Friday's show. I believe it was Saturday when the former president of the United States was shot. I know exactly where I was in the vehicle driving down the east coast of Florida. We had stopped at the beach and we were on our way to Central Florida, and it was just a very happy time. And then all of a sudden my phone starts blowing up and people are saying that the president was shot. You don't know what that means. He was shot. Is he dead? He was shot. Did we get the guy? He was shot. Who did it? All of these questions, few of which we have answers to today, nearly 2 weeks later. Incredibly important and consequential questions that we need to have answers to. Our poll for today is, are you afraid for America's future? Yes or no? Because when we talk about America's future, I think that when I notice myself getting pulled away from the importance and the priority of where I need to have my focus in my life as a Christian, as a mother, as a wife, when I pull myself away from that and I'm allowed to be consumed into the news stories, the headlines, the things that are so sensational and so emotional that they sneak in and they try to become that priority over those things, which when you objectively step away, you say, yeah, obviously, my children, my family, my faith, these are the most important things in my life. The sensationalism of the news and the way that it captures you and it keeps you looking at your phone for the next news alert to pop up or leaving on your news station of choice because you just got to hear the next development. When I'm away on vacation and I'm with my family, it's interesting how I still get those headlines. They still seep through. They still come to me. But the moments in between the big headlines are filled with splashes in the pool after going down the pool slide. Photographs at the beach of my three-year-old Molly collecting shells on the front end of the beach and having to run into the water to make sure that they get all cleaned off so that she can drop them on her way back. I don't even know where she was putting them. But there is a process, and you best not intervene in the process. Just let her be. Or watching my 14-year-old son navigate a vacation with three sisters of varying ages and enjoying going on this family trip that we take every summer. And it looks a little different every year that we go back because he's getting older and he's experiencing the world differently. He's paying attention to the news headlines now more than he has in the past. And it means something to him. So when I ask the question, are you afraid for America's future? When you hear that question, are you thinking to yourself, are you afraid for Republicans' future? Are you afraid for the Democrats' future? Because we just find out officially last night from the president in his own words that he's dropping out of the race. He said, even personal ambition cannot get in the way. Joe Biden will not be on the ticket in November. If you're a Democrat right now, you're probably more excited about this coming election than you've been in quite some time. Just because subjectively and relatively, the thought of a Kamala Harris presidency seems maybe a little bit more possible than a Joe Biden presidency, a second term. When I ask you if you're afraid for America's future, if you're a Democrat, are you less afraid for America's future now because you feel like the Democrats are going to have a better future in this country? That's where it gets upside down. When we have heard President Biden in his inauguration address say to the American people that it's going to be his job to unite America, that's what he said he wanted to do. And he said last night in that address, once again, that he's still committed to that. Who are we uniting? If Joe Biden is to be successful in that way, what does that look like? Because from where I sit, somebody who disagrees with, I don't know, 95% of the policies, and I'm just giving him 5% of something that maybe I missed because I'm trying to think of a policy that Joe Biden has manifested, that the Democrats have manifested, that I'm like, finally, someone's got this right. Off the top of my head, and yeah, I'm going to be a little rusty for a while after taking a week and a half off, I can't think of anything. Is Joe Biden interested in uniting me with the people who support him? Because I don't think he is. In order to unite people, you've got, generally speaking, to unite them not for something, but against a common enemy. And when I listen to the current president of the United States, President Joe Biden, every chance he gets to speak in a political manner, he needs to call out the ultra-MAGA Trump supporters. He takes every opportunity he can to define who we need to unite against. Joe Biden wants to unite the country against Republicans. now that Joe Biden is pulled out of the race, Kamala Harris is going to have to make the case of what she wants to unite the country against. I think that we know very little about Kamala Harris. I think that there is going to be a deluge of information that hits us between now and November 5th, and that's assuming that Kamala Harris is even the nominee. We'll find out at the DNC convention who it's going to be, but I don't know that we're guaranteed that it's Kamala Harris right now. We're going to find out what the Harris administration, how they want to unite the country. Move over to the right side of the aisle and let's question ourselves about what Donald Trump wants to do with a second term. Who does Donald Trump want to unite? And yeah, maybe I'm a homer here, and maybe this is too subjective. I'm too close to the issue to make this assessment, but I'm going to do it anyway. I don't really think that Donald Trump is out there to unite Republicans. And I'll make my case by pointing out that there are Republicans that Donald Trump calls out on the daily, that he makes fun of, that he gives the treatment that he gives to people who he perceives to be his political opponents on the other side of the aisle. It's actually frustrating to some Trump supporting Republicans at times, like myself, that he's not more willing to unite the broad tent of Republicans that are out there, because never Trumper is a phrase that everybody understands. Never Trumpers, that's not a name given to Democrats. Never Trumpers, that's a name given to people who are swing voters or Republicans. That above all else, the only thing that matters is that it is never Trump. There's nothing he could do to persuade those people to consider him as the president of the United States. So for Donald Trump, I don't believe that the idea of uniting is just Republicans over Democrats. Let's unite Republicans. I see Donald Trump including people who Republicans don't really love to see included in the conversation. Over my break, I dipped into the RNC several times. Amber Rose, somebody who I didn't know about, now I know more about her than I really prefer to, a speaker at the RNC convention. I don't know where you are on that. And honestly, I haven't formulated a strong enough opinion to dive into it myself as to whether or not she belonged there or not. But Donald Trump thinks she should be. Donald Trump has gone with policy and said that he's not for abortion bans, that he wouldn't sign a universal abortion ban. Donald Trump, while he in his first term was one of, if not the most pro-life presidents from the Republican Party side, the abilities to bring attention to that issue, he did not shy away from it at all. And when Donald Trump was elected in 2016, people like me thought he's not going to govern as a conservative at all. We'll be lucky when we get a conservative policy or a bit of leadership out of President Trump. And then he turned out to really hit the mark way more than he didn't. Who does Donald Trump want to unite? And when you unite somebody, who are we uniting against? And the answer is right there in front of you, and it's right there in front of me. Donald Trump wants to unite the people who believe that the idea, the purpose, the goal of a president of a federal government of the United States of America is to prioritize America first. The goal is that we understand that we have to take care of our own before we move out into the world and start caring for other people, dictating to other people, controlling other people, that we first have to have our house in order. And the foundational element of an America first mentality is that America is worth it. That the creation of this country, the founding fathers' idea that it would be a we the people, not we the government, mentality about how this system would work is that the American people are prioritized, that they should be left to handle their own lives, to manage their own lives, and that government should not be knocking on the door to create problems that they can then solve. Oh, but by the way, you need to provide the funding for it out of your back pocket. For the Democrats, Kamala Harris, it's wash, rinse, repeat with whomever they choose. And when I say they choose, I mean the Democratic operation. The system that they've put in place to select the people who will continue the cause. And I truly believe that it's a cause that is there to fully support, maintain, and grow the power of the Democrat Party. Not Americans. If you're not with them, you are against them. The Democrat Party. If you look at Donald Trump, I think one of the reasons why he is so incredibly threatening to the Democrats is because he doesn't play in the party system. It's very easy for Democrats to say, Democrats good, Republicans bad. Donald Trump doesn't turn around and say, no, Republicans good, Democrats bad. That's not how he functions. And it's frustrating at times for some of us who pay a lot of attention to how this system works, because it's easier to play in the red good, blue bad, red bad, blue good system. It's just simple. It's like watching a sporting event. You got your team. They do something good. They get away with a bad call because the umpire didn't see it right or the referee called it wrong and it's not reviewable. And you're like, you know, round of applause. It went for us. It's good. Donald Trump goes into the system and he turns the whole thing upside down, puts everything on the table and says, we can get rid of most of this. We need to get back to the idea that we should focus on America first. Not America only, but America first. The Democrats are clearly, clearly Democrats first. And that's an incredibly isolating place to be. America first is inclusive. And if you were to go ask 100 people on the streets of St. Louis, which party is more inclusive? How many of them do you think would say Republicans? I think if you went and asked the same 100 people, Joe Biden or Donald Trump, and we'll find out what they say about Kamala Harris, I think that people find Donald Trump to be more inclusive. And that might be a radical thought to entertain, but if you sit back and think about it, are you for America or are you against it? Do you love America or do you hate it? Do you see the American flag and walk up to it, embrace it and hug it and smile ear to ear? Or do you take the American flag down and replace it with the flag of another nation while you burn the American flag? These are simple questions with incredibly consequential answers. And we will find out the answer in November. I am very sorry that I missed the last week and a half, but I wouldn't do it differently. And I am so glad to be back here on the air with you. I'm so glad to get, it's like, do I regurgitate the last week and a half? You guys have all been here. You've been listening. I don't think I'm going to do that. I'm interested. I thought maybe in the 2 o'clock hour we could do an Ask Me Anything. Okay. If you're cool with that.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
If people want to ask me questions or you want my thoughts on a particular thing, put it in the YouTube chat and we will flag them. And maybe at 2:25 we'll do an Ask Us Anything.
Sounds
but
great.
We've got a great list of guests today on the show. Normally at Thursday at 12:25, we'd be talking with Hans von Spakovsky. He's going to bump back an hour, and we're going to talk to him at 1:25, and we're going to get his feedback on Project 2025. That should be interesting. But when we come back, Tammy Bruce is going to be with us, and this is kind of the inspiration for today's YouTube poll. I've got her book in my hand right now, Fear Itself. I'm through the second chapter of this book, and I feel like this is must read material for the next few months, because I'm asking you this question today on the YouTube poll. Are you afraid for America's future? Yes or no? She gives you the information you need about where the fear comes from and how to muster the courage to combat it. And Tammy Bruce is going to be on the Annie Fry Show next. So stick around. We'll be right back.
So has anyone out there heard of Project 20?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
2025. You can clap if you've heard of it. Good. See, our audience is very advanced. They read, they know. But a lot of people don't know about it, so I'm here to tell you what it is. It's a far-right plan for destroying democracy that Trump's team wants to implement on day one. Let me count the ways. They want to ban abortion, starve school children, eliminating breakfast and lunch for school kids. They want to have mass deportations of immigrants. They want to gut health care. This is all just for starters.
Well, I know it's like the rudest thing I could do on my first day back from vacation to be like, hey, friends, let's listen to some Joy Behar. Listen to all the scary things that are going to happen if Donald Trump gets elected. And the scariest words that you can say to a liberal right now, Project 2025. They don't even know what's in it. But they listen to Joy Behar's drivel like this, and then they just repeat and wash and rinse and repeat once again. Somebody who knows a little bit about fear and courage, my friend Tammy Bruce, back on the Annie Fry Show. Tammy, thank you for being my first guest back from vacation. Wow, what a few weeks.
Well, I hope you had a great time. You didn't miss much, so you didn't have to catch up.
Nothing to catch up on.
And thank you for having me. Yeah, that's a perfect example. And we know this is going to happen. And it's all that they do. It is. And it's the use of fear. It's what my new book's about, to control society. And what you do is you threaten people with this idea that existential threats are coming, and then it shuts down the logical and reasoned mind, and you begin to just, you know, allow others to either take control of your actions or you retreat completely. And what you played there is a perfect example of it.
Yeah, you know, I think about listening to anything that comes from The View, and that's really all that they trade in, is this idea of fear that they are going to scare you. And there's such a repetitive nature to it that comes from the leftist agenda-driven media that they repeat the same thing. So the more you hear it, the more you believe it to be true. When in reality, if you listen to Donald Trump speaking on himself, he has really pushed Project 2025 away as not his thing. Maybe he'll pick some stuff from it. But what is it about Project 2025? Why consolidate all of this fear into a couple of words, Project 2025? Like, why did the left do that?
Yeah, it's a trigger. I mean, these are this is an ancient technique. It's like any kind of brainwashing, any kind of cultic training. You reduce things down, you repeat them, and then it's a trigger word. And then you stop thinking at all about the details of even that. And all it means is, again, and of course the toning things down after the attempted assassination of President Trump lasted for about 18 hours. That's about it. But this is a perfect dynamic for them. And if it didn't exist, they would make it up. So it's almost doesn't matter what we do. And so, you know, for the book, and we know this is going to ramp up, right? If the use of fear is a favorite technique because they know that they're selling something no one wants. And their only hope is for people to retreat. And so it's almost very much like a domestic violence writ large, that every message, not just to their own base, but to their own base and everyone else, is that, you know, global warming, you're the fault of that. Your breathing is the issue. The straws you use is the issue. On the issue of you know, the nature of even the food we eat has to change. And now you can be fired if you misgender someone. And now we're even into forced speech where you've got every like forum has like, what are your pronouns? And I usually put your majesty, but that's not what they want to have. And so it's forced speech through silence that if you don't fill out that category, you are not complying. And they can know that by either forced silence and what it reveals by you not saying the words you're supposed to say. And of course, there are punishments. You might lose your job. You might get attacked on Twitter. You will be called names. You might be condemned as a transphobe if you don't want men, you know, involved in women's sports. You know, there's a price to pay if you do not conform. And for me, as we were looking at this, this idea came to me pre-COVID. COVID's the best example of this technique. But it really started with political correctness first, where you begin to change the notion of people that they can, that there's like rules that you're breaking when you speak, and the rules keep changing. And so you're never sure about what you can do. And of course, then we move into something like, you know, cancel culture, which begins to apply punishments to those who don't behave. And I think that for the next several months, the assassination attempt on President Trump was, I think, inevitable because of the rhetoric used that is terrifying. Look, it's terrifying to think you've got a Russian spy who's going to end the country as we know it. And it's pretty scary. And people are going to act on that. We saw it with Justice Kavanaugh, the way he was viciously ripped apart, led by Kamala Harris when she was in the Senate. And of course, that was an attempted assassination that was stopped, fortunately. But it's inevitable. And then for the next several months, people, what I want people to be aware of is that none of this is natural. None of it is normal. It is not organic. It's also not inevitable. It relies on us agreeing to react to it in fear or to comply, but to abandon our own, let's say, sense of decency and morality in the process. They want, and if you can't and refuse to conform, they want you to shrink away and never be seen again. And some people make that choice as well. So my book is meant to, at least bring light to that, the history of it. It's an ancient technique. And I also give people some ideas on how to overcome it with pacts at the end of the book. Pacts we make with ourselves so that we can get through what's coming ahead.
Oh, I love it. We're speaking with Tammy Bruce right now. You know her on Fox News as a Fox News contributor, AMAC columnist, also a best-selling author. I've got the book in my hand right now, Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. I'm about a third of the way through this book at this point. And what you just said there is so important because anybody can identify and complain about a problem. The question is are there solutions to the problem? Can you fix the problem? Can you solve the problem? And you've done this here. And what you're articulating is that in order for the left to succeed at their ability to mind control, to own vocabulary and punish people accordingly, we have to be willing participants in it. And the good news here is that we don't have to be those willing participants.
We don't. And each of us, though, right, we have to pick our battles because some people will get fired if they misgender someone. So you don't want to go out there and challenge that environment or getting kicked out of school. So each of us is in a different position, but much of the work that can be done is private and very personal. Like my first pact is very simple, is we have to stop allowing strangers to control what we think of ourselves. Oof. So that if somebody calls you, as an example, I recommend if somebody calls you a bigot or a racist, you should treat it the same as if someone called you a cocker spaniel. You're not going to immediately look at your butt to find the tail, right? This is the simplicity of what that is. And it comes down to, re-embracing our own values, not being afraid of what you stand for. Know that you're not a bad person because somebody thinks because you might be white and a Christian, maybe you're pro-life, that you're somehow a white supremacist bigot. That's a lie. You're being told lies. And, there's a reason the mind is fragile, right? And it's a technique. This is not just random. And so we can be impacted by it. We all can be. And it's a matter of decision making that makes the difference. But in the book, we've got the history. I think once people know that, wait a minute, none of this is normal and I don't have to adapt, you can get the fear off of your shoulders. It's remarkable when that goes. Mm. Fear itself is a gift, but it's meant to be transitory so that you can deal with issues. The left makes it chronic, and that leads to mass anxiety.
Yes.
And it leads to a retreat from life. And that is what the left loves, is the destruction of the future, the destruction of life. And then they have all the power they want because people are too afraid to say no. We have a great opportunity, though, I think, coming up in November to reject this once and for all.
Amen. Tammy Bruce with us right now. I want to give you the opportunity to, before we let you go, to talk about your walk to this ideal, this thought process, because you're not a cradle-to-grave conservative. This is not something, I consider myself to be a Rush baby. I grew up in a house where the kitchen radio had on Rush Limbaugh. You have been on the other side. You have been on the left. So you've seen these things in practice.
I have. And that was, for me, everybody who's on the left, it kind of lands there because of some damage. And I was part of that as well, in the sense of wanting to probably in some way save my mother and then save my first girlfriend who had killed herself, and the issue of violence against women, and the nature of me wanting to make things more fair. And so, you know, when you get people who are generally damaged, they're going to ask fewer questions. They just want to act. They want to, you know, they're moving on something personal in that regard. For me, I also wanted to succeed in making women's lives better and kind of, you know, having the feminist movement work itself out of being necessary. Well, that, of course, I was disabused of that notion right away and found that it was really a machine. It was a machine for money and profit, and was told that we couldn't really solve all the problems, if any, because then we wouldn't be here when we would be needed again. And it helped me, and I was in psychotherapy for a number of years. Went on talk radio in Los Angeles, speaking of Rush Limbaugh, the station. I was the token liberal, and it was Rush Limbaugh's station. And I tell a story about Rush in the book because he changed my life. A conversation just over a few hours in one day made a huge difference in my life. So it really is about being, and the left doesn't want people to talk to people who don't think like them. They don't want you to learn about other ideas or find out, as I did, that they lie about what conservatives are about and they lie about the country, et cetera. So for me, that was the trajectory, and I'm glad I was able to do it. But look, I lost a lot of friends. My life changed, and a lot happens to you.
Right.
But we can all decide what in our own lives, you know, what we need to do and if it's worth it. But it's the very most personal thing we all can do, because it is private. It's about our own sense of self, not being ashamed of who we are, not letting politicians or even family who are not like us try to make us feel bad or to reject our own values. The moment we're able to reject that, we're on much better footing.
Oh, I love all of it, and I am a third of the way through this book, and I cannot wait to finish it. And to your point, the essence of the power of the left and their ability to mind control relies completely on our silence. And this book is a wonderful way to show you where the courage can come from. And it's inside of you already. Tammy Bruce, thank you so much for being with us today. I'm holding your book up right now, encouraging everyone to get it. It's called Fear Itself, Exposing the Left's Mind-Killing Agenda. Hope to have you come back soon and talk more about the weaponization of fear so that we can push back.
Would love to. Yeah, there's going to be a lot to talk about. Thank you, Annie. I appreciate you having me.
Yep. Thank you so much. Tammy Bruce, everybody. Fox News contributor, AMAC columnist, and bestselling author. Check out the book, Fear Itself. I'm reading it. It's wonderful. It's informative. And sometimes this is how I have felt so far reading this book, that you ever have these thoughts and they're kind of rolling around in your head, or maybe they jump in and out at any given time. And then somebody puts all of those thoughts into a consistent, coherent, larger message, and you're like, yes, that. So far, that's exactly what this book has been for me. So thank you, Tammy Bruce, for coming on with us and talking to us about her book. It's so important to this moment in time right now. Quick break. When we come back, Ryan Wiggins in studio. I haven't talked to him yet since I've been back. How did he do? Was he okay? Did he behave himself, Brad?
I mean, he behaved himself when I was here.
Oh, what? Okay.
I don't know what he did the other...
Would you consider how he behaves on the show when I'm here behaving himself?
No.
Was he better?
He was actually more well-behaved than whenever you're here.
So it's me. I'm the problem.
Well,
he paid you to say
I think
that.
He just finds it fun.
All right. Well, he'll be in studio here when we come back. Can't wait to see him and talk to him. So stick around. We'll be right back with Wiggins America in just a minute.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
Hello, Ryan.
Well, as anxious as I was to get in here and say hello to you, I also thought maybe we just bump my segment out till tomorrow and you call Tammy Bruce back.
Why? You like that?
Because that was great.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Her book is really, really great. I like it when people write books where they don't make me feel stupid. I'm like, gosh, I can't keep up with this. It just flows. It's very easy.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I like books that make me feel stupid. I like putting them on my bookshelf and being like, yeah, those are my books.
Mm-hmm.
So when I have guests over, I point at them and I smoke a pipe.
Ryan starts books, doesn't finish them, and whenever people ask him, what you reading, he can say whatever smart book it is.
Anything,
In my mind, when you're talking about doing that to your guests, it's like your kids' friends.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, are they yours?
Gather around, 9-year-olds. Let's talk about things and stuff.
Yeah. Have you heard the latest from Hans von Spakovsky there?
Man, you could say anything after that. Yeah. You're going to sound like a genius.
What I have for you is just some stories here that have maybe gone a little bit unnoticed about the financial/social workplace, all that stuff like that. A bunch of random headlines that I found to be
interesting. See, if you said that phrase right there with the pipe, it would have sounded smart.
And then pointed at a bunch of books. See those right there?
That's today's log.
Those are mine. All right, the first one is related to the workplace.
Your bookshelf just has the life of human over and over and over again.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's not a lie.
I like how you came to that realization in real time.
Yeah. See those right there? Those are books that I didn't sell yet. A disturbing number of people sick with infectious diseases conceal their illnesses to avoid missing work, travel, or social events. New research reveals about 3 in 4, as in the vast majority of people.
This is how you know we're back from 2020.
Exactly.
That's the way it was.
Yes.
Do you remember being in the midst of all of the craziness of COVID? Our lives were, it's hard to even believe that they were what they were. But the big question the whole time is, will we ever go back to normal? According to the study, yes.
What would you say? Was there a moment that you said that was the end of it? Or was it just a gradient to you?
I think it's a gradient to everybody. There are a lot of people who want to boast about like never participating. You couldn't not participate. You could.
Oh, yeah. It was thrust upon you.
You couldn't not. You could push back on it or not participate in certain things. But it was all around you. I mean, the world shut down. So you were there. You lived it. Maybe you didn't comply as much as other people might have or are still complying. But I mean, gosh, I remember one of the main things about like being in the midst of COVID. As soon as it started to go away and people started coming back to work, like if you came to work and you coughed, you were the great Satan.
Oh, man.
Ryan.
Let me tell you about living with cystic fibrosis in the COVID era. My gosh.
Not good for you.
I kid you not. And coughed. I still have. Oh, I still do. I do it all the time. Well, yeah. I still have a little card that I carry in my wallet that says cystic fibrosis.
He made it with a crayon, but it's no big deal.
I don't know where I got this. It's like an official card that tells you you have a disease. That's kind of cool, I guess. but I also considered getting, just for plane rides, a shirt that says, I have CF, it's not COVID, it's not contagious.
And CF makes you cough because?
You have thicker than average mucus in your lungs. So it's constantly, you just gotta clear your throat over and over and over.
It's just what you do.
It's just what you do.
And
there's
then
no way around it.
COVID's like, if you cough... You are the virus.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was
poor Ryan.
It was a nightmare. But I do, when I sit my kids' friends down and we talk about world issues and I point at the books on the bookshelf, I say, kids, I want you to know that the COVID era ended in March of 2022. And you know why I say that? Because that's when the airplane mask mandate ended. And I think that was really what kind of blew the doors open.
I think it's like if you got off the airplane when the mask, what date was it?
March of 22.
I think if you got off the plane in like Chicago, you had to put your mask on when you got off the plane, though.
Yeah, it depends on where you were. Yeah, if you're going to the Bahamas, they're like, yeah, you don't need anything. But if you're going to Philadelphia.
You don't even need pants. Yeah. that was just based on Ryan's vacation
that
photos.
That was what
That's
I tried. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was a fun year.
The weird thing was that you were wearing a mask, though.
Over my pants. Over my, never mind.
Your face.
I was wearing masks all over the place just to be safe.
I'll wear your mask.
Next random story from the financial world is related to your retail experience. Halloween in July is happening.
Let's go. It's
Have you
Christmas.
Seen this? Have you seen this at all in stores?
Mm-mm. No.
I haven't either yet, but it's close. It's right around the corner. They say that Spirit Halloween stores open on August 1st. They're opening all over the place. But this story is talking about how Home Depot, Target, Costco are already selling some of those big, monstrous animatronic decorations.
Man, those things are scary.
They scare me, let alone my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk in there and I just go ahead and I just let go of my pee. And then I'm like, okay, now I can shop. You just got to get that out of the
way.
You
got to wear that mask.
That's why I got to wear a very absorbent mask.
Depends.
So if you see that,
people
you're not
alone.
People
need to understand, though, it's the same thing with Christmas creep. Christmas stuff starts coming out late August, early September, if not before. But there are a lot of people who, like, as soon as Christmas is socially acceptable to publicly celebrate or participate in, there are places that have to be ready with that Christmas stuff in tow. Or maybe, like, people go into Michael's, not the flooring store, but you should. But the craft store,
mm-hmm.
and there's Christmas stuff everywhere. That's because people go there to make the Christmas stuff that they're going to sell or do whatever with. So there are some instances, like in Halloween, if you're getting ready for Halloween and you're like a store that needs to be decorated or an entity or provide a service, you have to have that stuff before October 1st.
Oh, I totally understand. But with Christmas, it feels like, well, things are getting a little cold. I'm kind of okay with it. In July, when I'm seeing a fall holiday, late fall holiday, I'm like, no. This is not okay. And I also have to shield. My kids are getting a little older now, so it's okay. But man, they are so afraid of it. And they're like, Dad, can you pray for me that I don't have nightmares tonight because we went into Home Depot? Yeah, I will. I think you'll be okay.
They come by it honestly.
So Annie Fry, welcome back. That was a great segment, and
that's
for
it.
You.
Thanks for bringing your A game.
You're welcome.
Did you miss me?
I did.
Did you?
I mean, we got a flow, you know? And when you're not here?
No flow.
We got no flow.
Oh, Lord. Tyrus, when we come back, and Hans von Spakovsky, when we come back, we're going to talk to Hans about Project 2025 and let him hit back on some of the accusations that have been made. And Tyrus, I'm just going to be like, so, how's it going? And then we'll go from there. Don't go away. Hello, Ryan.
Well, as anxious as I was to get in here and say hello to you, I also thought maybe we just bump my segment out till tomorrow and you call Tammy Bruce back.
Why? You like that?
Because that was great.
Yeah.
That was really good. Really
her book is really, really great. I like it when people write books where they don't make me feel stupid. I'm like, gosh, I can't keep up with this. It just flows. It's very easy.
See, that's the difference between you and me. I like books that make me feel stupid. I like putting them on my bookshelf and being like, yeah, those are my books.
Mm-hmm.
When I have guests over, I point at them and I smoke a pipe.
Ryan starts books, doesn't finish them, and whenever people ask him, what you reading, he can say whatever smart book it is.
Anything,
In my mind, when you're talking about doing that to your guests, it's like your kids' friends.
It is. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, are they yours?
Gather around, yeah. 9-year-olds. Let's talk about things and stuff.
Yeah. Have you heard the latest from Hans von Spakovsky there?
Man, you could say anything after that. Yeah. You're going to sound like a genius.
What I have for you is just some stories here that have maybe gone a little bit unnoticed about the financial / social workplace, all that stuff like that. A bunch of random headlines that I found to be interesting.
See, if you said that phrase right there with the pipe, it would have sounded smart.
And then pointed at a bunch of books. See those right there?
That's today's log.
Those are mine. All right, the first one is related to the workplace.
Your bookshelf just has The Life of Human over and over and over again.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's not a lie.
I like how you came to that realization in real time.
Yeah. See those right there? Those are books that I didn't sell yet. A disturbing number of people sick with infectious diseases conceal their illnesses to avoid missing work, travel, or social events, new research reveals. About 3 in 4, as in the vast majority of people.
This is how you know we're back from 2020.
Exactly.
That's the way it was.
Yes.
Do you remember being in the midst of all of the craziness of COVID? Our lives were, it's hard to even believe that they were what they were. But the big question the whole time is, will we ever go back to normal? According to the study, yes.
What would you say? Was there a moment that you said that was the end of it? Or was it just a gradient to you?
I think it's a gradient to everybody. There are a lot of people who want to boast about like never participating. You couldn't not participate. You could.
Oh yeah, it was thrust upon you.
You couldn't not. You could push back on it or not participate in certain things, but it was all around you. I mean, the world shut down, so you were there. You lived it. Maybe you didn't comply as much as other people might have or are still complying. But I mean, gosh, I remember one of the main things about like being in the midst of COVID as soon as it started to go away and people started coming back to work, like if you came to work and you coughed, you were the great Satan.
Oh, man.
Ryan.
Let me tell you about living with cystic fibrosis in the COVID era. My gosh.
Not good for you.
I kid you not. And coughed. I still have. Oh, I still do. I do it all the time. Well, yeah. I still have a little card that I carry in my wallet that says cystic fibrosis.
He made it with a crayon, but it's no big deal.
I don't know where I got this. It's like an official card that tells you you have a disease. That's kind of cool, I guess. but I also considered getting, just for plane rides, a shirt that says, I have CF, it's not COVID, it's not contagious.
And CF makes you cough because?
You have thicker than average mucus in your lungs. So it's constantly, you just got to clear your throat over and over and over.
It's just what you do.
It's just what you do.
And
there's
then
no way
COVID's
around it.
Like, if you cough... You are the virus.
Yes. Oh my gosh. It was
poor Ryan.
It was a nightmare. But I do, when I sit my kids' friends down and we talk about world issues and I point at the books on the bookshelf, I say, kids, I want you to know that the COVID era ended in March of 2022. And you know why I say that? Because that's when the airplane mask mandate ended. And I think that was really what kind of blew the doors open.
I think if you got off the airplane when the mask, what date was it?
March of 22.
I think if you got off the plane in like Chicago, you had to put your mask on when you got off the plane, though.
Yeah, depending on where you were. Yeah, if you're going to the Bahamas, they're like, yeah, you don't need anything. But if you're going to Philadelphia.
You don't even need pants.
That was just based
on Ryan's vacation
that
photos.
That was what I tried. Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. That was a fun year.
The weird thing was that you were wearing a mask, though.
Over my pants. Over my... never mind.
Your face.
I was wearing masks all over the place just to be safe.
I'll wear your mask.
Next random story from the financial world is related to your retail experience. Halloween in July is
all right.
Happening.
Let's go. It's
Have you
Christmas.
Seen this? Have you seen this at all in stores?
Mm-mm. No.
I haven't either yet, but it's close. It's right around the corner. They say that Spirit Halloween stores open on August 1st. They're opening all over the place. But this story is talking about how Home Depot, Target, Costco are already selling some of those big, monstrous animatronic decorations.
Man, those things are scary.
They scare me, let alone my kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I walk in there and I just go ahead and I just let go of my pee. And then I'm like, okay, now I can shop. You just got to get that out of the
way.
That's
why you got to wear that mask.
That's why I got to wear a very absorbent mask.
Depends.
So if you see that,
people
you're not alone.
You need to understand, though, it's the same thing with Christmas creep. Christmas stuff starts coming out late August, early September, if not before. But there are a lot of people who, like, as soon as Christmas is socially acceptable to publicly celebrate or participate in, there are places that have to be ready with that Christmas stuff in tow. Or maybe like people go into Michael's, not the flooring store, but you should, but the craft store.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Christmas stuff everywhere. That's because people go there to make their Christmas stuff that they're going to sell or do whatever with. So there are some instances, like in Halloween, if you're getting ready for Halloween and you're like a store that needs to be decorated or an entity or provide a service, you have to have that stuff before October 1st.
Oh, I totally understand. But with Christmas, it feels like, well, things are getting a little cold. I'm kind of okay with it. In July, when I'm seeing a fall holiday, late fall holiday, I'm like, no. This is not okay. And I also have to shield. My kids are getting a little older now, so it's okay. But man, they are so afraid of it. And they're like, Dad, can you pray for me that I don't have nightmares tonight because we went into Home Depot? Yeah, I will. I think you'll be okay.
They come by it honestly.
So Annie Fry, welcome back.
That was
a great segment, and
That's
for
it.
You.
Thanks for bringing your A game.
You're welcome.
Did you miss me?
I did.
Did you?
I mean, we got a flow, you know? And when you're not here?
No flow.
We got no flow.
Oh, Lord. Tyrus, when we come back, and Hans von Spakovsky, when we come back, we're going to talk to Hans about Project 2025 and let him hit back on some of the accusations that have been made. And Tyrus, I'm just going to be like, so, how's it going? And then we'll go from there. Don't go away.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.